This is the national broadcast of W. Din Mohammed.
Din Muhammad. Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Assalamu alaikum. That is peace be on you. Praise be to Allah, that is to God, Lord of all worlds. The prayers and the peace be upon his noble and generous messenger, servant, last prophet, Muhammad, and what follows of this traditional salute of the Muslims to Muhammad, the last of the prophets. Dear people, we are most pleased to join you in this occasion to support fundraising effort by the mosque, by your masjid here, and your imam, and those who are working with him in the community. It is indeed our pleasure and honor. We thank you for the opportunity. We are very much pleased to see our distinguished guests here on the podium, and also the very distinguished persons in the gathering. And we greet you all, honorable gathering. That is our respect for you, and that is sincere. The expression, new mind, says a change occurred in the way we were thinking. The change referred to for this address was encouraged by changes in the thinking of our enslaved foreparents. We would think the first slaves thought their fate, their life, their existence was hopeless. But as a knowledge of their masters, as they gained more knowledge of their masters and of the society, of the master's society, of their master's culture, of their master's religion, and of their master's form of government, there grew among these slaves a new mind. Our foreparents began to change their state of mind for the better. They began to have hope. Hope that one day they would receive enough support from the better people in America, and that one day they would be free. Frederick Douglass, Booker T. Washington, Sojourner Truth, and there are others who were born slaves, and we know from history that they were brave and courageous in advocating that slaves be free, and we know from history that they received support from whites or European Americans, and eventually were able to awaken the conscience of the American people to get enough support to have that evil removed from America, that is the evil of that, quote, peculiar institution of slavery. They had faith in the human innocence, of their masters and of their oppressors. They believed that the same soul, the same human innocence that were in them, God had put it in all people, that human innocence were in their masters. Human nature is innocent. Our foreparents believed if that case could be appealed to in the ears of the American people, knock on the door of the conscience of the American people, over a long enough period of time, a change of heart would come in the American people, that is in the masters, in the white race of America. A change of mind would come. They believed that. This, in my opinion, as I see it, begins our freedom movement. This is the beginning of our freedom movement as African Americans or as people up from slavery. Emancipation saw us moving from the painful experience of slavery, from the bitter South to the brighter North, to find what we hoped for, freedom. Freedom for the children of Africa. The freedom of our foreparents, that freedom they longed for, was the freedom to have establishment, to have their lot established as an honorable member in the honorable family of man, equal to all other men. Not inferior humanly, not inferior as a creation. Their hope was to have establishment in this land of promise. That freedom, the freedom of their bodies, could not fulfill. The freedom of their bodies was only a release of their bodies from captivity and a release from their souls, because when the body is freed physically, better opportunity comes for the real freedom that they wanted. Freed slaves were seen in large numbers after emancipation. They were seen reading or trying to read while sitting, while working, while taking a break in the field, resting against a plow handle. Hence, the greater freedom and the aimed for freedom was the freedom to grow our minds. They wanted the freedom to grow their minds, our foreparents. But not without a purpose, to grow the mind for establishment in America as a people, for competition with other American groups, ethnic groups. We felt that God had created us equal to any other human being he had created. We felt and believed in our souls that God made the human being one human being with the same capacity, with the same nature, the same capacity, the same potential for progress, for establishing himself and establishing his society. We believed that in our hearts and in our souls, and we had faith after studying our master's religion, our master's document called the Constitution of the United States, especially the introduction of that document, or the preamble, which states that God is the creator and created all men equal. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. We believed that, and we had faith that if that is the document, the basis for the Constitution, or the spirit, or the writing, the introduction to set the spirit for the Constitution of these United States, then there was hope for them, there was hope for us, our foreparents, that is, and us, and this, their children. There was hope for us. We have come into a situation now, and I see us kind of resembling the Hatfields and the McCoys. The Hatfields and the McCoys, you know, they had been fighting each other so long that they forgot why they were fighting each other. They forgot what got them into it. The 60s, those disturbing 60s, progressive 60s in many ways, but very disturbing 60s, when we were out confronting the white race, the civil rights movement under the leadership of Dr. King. May God forgive him all his sins and grant him paradise. and the Nation of Islam, struggling hard to have his voice heard as an alternative, separation and integration. A desperate and in many ways savage law enforcement in this country is responsible for killing the lives of many innocent people, maiming many innocent people, jailing many innocent people. So it was a bad time, but it brought a lot of progress. It brought out a lot that was hidden from the eyes of many innocent Americans who didn't want to really face racism, didn't want to believe the ugly, real ugly side of racism in America. And change did come, but with great sacrifice. But with that came a change of mind that we're not too happy with, not too happy with. The 60s saw a change of mind in us from the movement to free ourselves, to equip ourselves for establishment in America, establishment in our God-given rights, to a movement just to confront what we began to call Whitey the enemy, whether it's right or wrong. Those of us locked into that groove lost our foreparents' noble desire. I was separated from our foreparents' noble desire to be free. Those of us locked in that groove cannot hear the call in our souls for more freedom of our minds, more freedom for the mind. Those suffering blind desperation of confrontation with the white man, suffering what I may call an ego hysteria, compelling them to engage the ghost of white supremacy, to confront the power structure, to confront America and the, quote, white world, because we know we have black nationalists, a kind of black nationalists, they are artificial black nationalists now, that are taking on the whole white world. And they are trying to organize the mind of all black people, the whole African family, Africa, American, African Americans, the Caribbeans, the Aborigines, and the many parts of the world. They are trying to organize all of us against the evil as they see it, and the evil is the white man, the white world. Our foreparents, I should say our intellect, was held forcibly out of reach of opportunity. Opportunity to have freedom of mind, freedom of intellect. The rights of citizenship represents only opportunity . It does not represent the finish line for the movement of freedom in us. The freedom our souls calls for is freedom to rest in satisfaction, rest in establishment that we don't have to be ashamed of. Competitive establishment. We cannot separate individually from our group soul. That is, if we try to leave the spirit of our group soul and go individually, I'll go and do it this way, I'll do it my way, I will find my future in violence. I'll find my future in drugs. I'll find my future in myth. I'll find my future in teaching black myths. It won't work. We'll still have to come back home to the calling of our group soul. This may escape some of you if not familiar with psychology, the field of psychology. In the field of psychology, we recognize that just as an individual member of a group has a distinct soul, the people taken all together have a distinct soul. This is a fact of life. We cannot separate ourselves from our calling, dear people. One day we have to come back and answer, or we will die in misery. We'll die in pain. We'll die unsatisfied. We'll die in torment. Therefore, we are witnessing again in our history as a people moving along the road of freedom to that freedom that will satisfy us. We are experiencing again a new mind growing among African Americans. Human pride is pressuring this mind to move to the forefront of activities for bettering our race. Human pride. If human pride is permitted to move to the forefront of our battle for establishment and comparative excellence, recognition in this country for our race, with other ethnic groups, with other members, with the white race. If human pride is permitted to come to the forefront, we'll begin to enjoy what is put in this theme, a unified spirit. But until then, we have diverse aims that are directly against what our souls called for when we were in physical bondage, and still calls for the day, because we have not yet reached the excellence that is demanded of us by our souls. A people put down so low by that peculiar institution we call slavery in this country, slavery in the South, or slavery in America, and by the attitude toward our essence, or toward our creation, or toward our worth as human beings that was coming not only from the South, but coming also from the North, that we experienced just as ugly in the North as we experienced it in the South. If we are to ever answer the calling in our souls, then we have to come together for more than just to have more money in our pockets, for more than just to have a false sense of superiority over another race. We have to come together for the real purpose in our souls. Thank you. God bless. Assalamu alaikum.
To support this broadcast, send your contributions to Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For items published by W. Dean Muhammad, write to WDM Publications, P.O. Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409.